If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 12. Today, my sermon is called True Joy. How many of you know what true joy is? Yeah, there you go. There's some hands. Well, I heard somebody one day say, I'll be happy when, and I thought, oh, that's the wrong words to say around me. And so I kind of got into a conversation with that person. I said, you choose when you want to be happy, but you can't wait for an event to take place in order to be happy or anything like that. So this really sparked a message inside of me, and I sat down Tuesday night. Well, actually, the title came to me. I just started saying, Lord, what do you want me to preach Sunday? And this title came to me, and then the scripture came. And as I wrote this down Tuesday night, sitting on the couch, the Lord just started giving the words. And I started feeling more joy building up inside of me as I wrote this sermon. So it's like, wow. And I don't know about you, but I love to be joyful. If you can, I'd like to ask those of you who are able to stand as I read from God's Word, John 15, verses 9 through 12. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. You abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, your word is powerful. Father, your word is life-changing. And God, today I pray that you will help each and every one of us to find true joy, which can only be found in you, Father. And God, as I preach this message, let every word come straight from you through your Holy Spirit. Let nothing come from my thoughts or my flesh or my own words. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So if I were to ask you this morning, what is joy? What would you say? What would your answer? Somebody just kind of shout out. If I ask you what joy is, what would you think? Happiness, right. Anybody else got another word they could think of, maybe? Peace. Peace, right. So there's actually a lot of different expressions that we can use to define joy. But I want to give you the definition from the dictionary. It says that joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. So Effie had that right on. It's a thing that causes joy. And you know where it comes from? It comes from the Latin word rejoice. And do you know how many times we sing hymnals? Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King. I can't remember the name of the song off the top of my head. But anyway, I remember that old song from the hymn book. So rejoicing. And where does joy reside? Joy resides right within your own very heart. See, now joy, though, is different from happiness. Happiness is temporary, but joy can remain constant. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, and it's an attitude of the heart and spirit. Now, each day that you and I wake up and get out of bed, we have a decision to make. We can either be joyful or we can be depressed or unhappy or angry or whatever you want to call it. I remember years ago, I used to get up of a morning time and I'd go, oh, I got to go to work today. And it's only Monday. You know, is Friday even here? And I used to say, I'll be so glad when Friday gets here. And do you know, I used to have some of the roughest weeks of my life going through that work week. I'd get up and go, oh, I got to see those people again. I got to deal with the same old negative ninnies that I deal with, you know, and just kind of like that. But I finally had to start realizing that in order for me to be truly happy and joyful in this life, I had to take a different approach. So joy, it resides in the heart. And it's a fruit, it's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And if joy abounds in us, then we ought to let that joy out. We should express that before other people. Because, you know, we don't like to be around people who are going to drag us down. We don't like to be around somebody who's depressed or in a bad mood. Now, if there's someone going through a bad time, we can take joy to them and we can minister to them and we can have fellowship with them. I know when I go to the hospital, there was a gentleman, loved him to death. Don Bergie was his name. And every time I would see Don and his wife, Joyce, I would make them laugh. You know, I'd do an impersonation of some, or tell one of my funny jokes or stories. And Don would get so tickled. And I remember one day I went up to the hospital because Don had had surgery and they had removed, I believe it was appendix or gallbladder, but they had to cut him, you know, back in the day they had to cut you wide open. And I won't forget, when I walked into the hospital room, the first thing Don started doing was laughing. And I hadn't even said a word yet. And I said, "Now, Don, what are you laughing for?" He says, "Brother Jim, please don't make me laugh." He said, "I've had this surgery and I don't want to bust my stitches open." And I says, "Well," I said, "I promise I won't make you laugh today." But anyway, I thought about it. I thought after the hospital visit was over, he had a big smile on his face. He had a lot of worry. He had a lot of things on his mind. But after we sat and ministered the gospel back and forth, and then we had a time of prayer, I noticed that there is a presence of the Holy Spirit in the room, and God's peace was all over. And there was a lot of joy. I want to go over and read Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 real quick. I just got to get over, flipped over here to it. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So that's the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So when I said that joy was one of the fruits of the Spirit, that's how God wants us to live. God wants us to abide by the Spirit. So going back to what I said, when we get up in the morning, we have a choice to make. And as God's chosen people, we ought to choose to be happy and rejoice. When I got up this whole month that I've been, you know, going through this sickness, I coughed a lot. I didn't feel good, had a headache. And I tell you what, all I kept saying, Effie, was, "Oh, I just wish the Lord would take this off of me. I wish this was gone. I'm tired of the way I feel. I was drained." And then the Lord said to me in prayer one morning, "If you would just focus on me, if you would just give me your time of day, then you're not going to think about what you're going through and you will be happy. You'll feel a lot better." And you know, it's true. So I got the hymn book out. I've got an old Baptist hymnal from 1993 from church. And I sat down on the floor one morning in my prayer room and I just started singing out loud to the Lord. It didn't sound very pretty because all that stuff in my head and all. But I just started singing out to the Lord in a loud voice, just singing hymns. And I would flip the page and I would see another song and I would just start singing to God. And then after some time of singing, I started to weep. And it wasn't that I was sad. It's because there was a natural joy building up inside of me. I was taking a moment out of my day to give all that I was to God, to give Him praise and honor and glory, and to focus on Him. And that's all God wants us to do. God wants us to come to Him daily. So when we get up, our day should start out, we should say, "Thank you, Father. Thank you for my family. Thank you for this house I live in. Thank you for the bed I have to sleep in, the car, the food, the money you supply, all of my friends and family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because when we start to thank God for all the things we do have that's in our life, then we're going to focus on the good things, and we're going to give honor and glory to the Lord because God is the one who gave us all of these good things. So when I come through the door, I always love when I come in here and I see the smiles and people say hello. I love the fellowship. And it puts me in a joyful place. So, and when I'm driving over here, I'm looking forward to expecting a blessing from God. So if we would live each and every day of our lives joyful, and if we would give praise and honor and glory to the Lord, then we wouldn't have time to be in a bad mood, would we? Do you know who the originator is of joy? God the Father. God the Father is the originator of joy. See, when God created you and I, God created us for fellowship. God wanted fellowship, and He gave us a free will. He gave us so many great things. I'm still amazed at how God could take from the dust of the earth and how He formed a life. And how He breathed life into that body. So I'm a living creation of God. I'm a child of the King. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was brought into a royal family. That right there makes me joyful. I thank God every day that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I would rather have my name in the Lamb's Book of Life than to have my name on the hospital register somewhere, you know, be... I'm very thankful, very, very thankful for all that God's done for me. We need, according to verses 9 and 10, in order to have joy, we have to abide in God's love. And we abide in God's love by keeping His commandments. Jesus kept His Father's commandments. Jesus was the only man who walked the face of this earth who knew no sin. He was perfect. The only perfect man to ever walk in the flesh. He came from heaven. He knew His Father's commandments. And He abided in His Father because He kept the commandments. So God is expecting us to do the same thing. Jesus came as an example for you and I to live. That's why the disciples, they walked with Jesus. I would have loved to have been there. I talk about Jesus now and having joy. I can only imagine the joy the 12 disciples had when they were with Jesus. And see, everything was great when the disciples were with Jesus because they abided with Him, which means that they were in fellowship with Him. Abiding means you dwell somewhere. That's what the word abide means, is dwelling in some place. And it's very simple to do. We must submit ourselves to God, and we must seek His kingdom first. And I'm not going to read the scripture, but that comes from Matthew 6:33 and James 4:7. That every day when we get up, we have got to submit ourselves to God. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So if we start seeking God first part of the day, we're going to have a blessed peace that will be blanketed over us. You and I are going to go through trials in life. You and I are going to go through some difficult times. We're going to go through times that's going to try our patience. And people have often wondered, why do we have to go through this? And I say to them, Jesus went through the exact same trials and temptations that you and I did. But you know what ought to make us really joyful? Is Jesus bore our punishment for our sins. Jesus is the one who took the beating. He was the one who was placed on trial. Jesus was the one who was mocked, spat upon. They cursed him. They made fun of him. And they beat him beyond recognition. They said the flesh just literally was barely hanging off of his bones after they had beaten him so brutally and put a crown of thorns upon his head. He was literally, I'm not trying to be gross, but he was a bloody mess. He had no support. He had nobody there with him. The disciples had all run. Those who had abided with him had all run and locked themselves into an upper room because they were afraid of the same thing happening to them. But Jesus bore our sins on the cross so that we would have life and that we would have it abundantly. Jesus did all of that. He's the door that allows us now to come to the Father. Before, there was no other way to come to the Father until Jesus died on the cross. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then we have a way to the Father and to have fellowship. So when you get up of morning, I've got a little plaque hangs on my wall. So when I get up out of bed, I look at it and it says, I am taking care of all of your problems today, God. So when I look at that plaque on the wall, I thank the Lord that He is in control. And I will go get on my face and I will bow before the Lord and thank Him for the day. Thank Him for all that I have. And I'm thankful that I can, I just say, Lord, I'm thankful that I can go and be productive today in whatever ways that you lead me. And then I already have a ton of joy that starts to well up from my heart. And I told you before I became a Christian, I wasn't a joyful person. I didn't like nobody. I didn't. I couldn't stand people. And I was more what they call that kind of a reclusive. I was a reclusive. Can you believe that? I was a reclusive personality. I stayed home. I would go out with a few friends here and there and cruise town, and that's about it. But the moment Jesus got a hold of my heart and life and turned everything around, I found a love, I found a purpose, I found a reason for living. And I want to express to the world that Jesus Christ is my strength and that He is my joy. When we give everything to God, we are opening ourselves up to be used by Him. So in joy, we get to come to God and say, here I am, Lord. Here's my life. Take me and lead me. I like that old song that says, take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Oh, I used to cry when we would sing that song because I would be praying for people to go to the altar that I knew needed to be saved. And when I saw them standing there, they'd be white, I always used to call it white knuckle in the pew. They'd have such a death grip. They'd be holding on. But see, the devil is going to come up against us every day, and the devil's going to give us a million and one reasons to be defeated, to be sad, to be lonely, and all that. And if we choose to fall into that category, then we're going to be ensnared in a pool of lies. See, Satan is the father of all lies. He is a deceiver. He himself will be cast into a lake of fire. But Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection has given us every reason as Christian people to celebrate and rejoice. I remember one time I walked into a little church. If you go back down Grassy Road, and I can't remember, I think it's Wolf Creek Road you turn on. There used to be a little church way back down there called Palestine Baptist Church. Anybody ever familiar with that area? And they recently tore that church down last year. But I remember walking into Palestine Baptist Church, and the director of our mission said, "Now, Brother Jim, you're going to be probably a little surprised. They only have three people, and they don't have much money, so they may not be able to pay." I said, "Well, I'm not worried about pay. I'm not worried about all that stuff." I said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them," Jesus said. So I got to the church, and I pulled up. Sunday school was supposed to be at 9:30, and I pulled up at 9:20, and there wasn't nobody there. 9:35 rolled around, there ain't nobody there. 9:45 rolled around, and finally one car come pulling up. And the devil started going, "Hey, you're not going to have a good time here. There's only one person showed up. You should have had a whole house full of people." And I said, "Devil, get away from me. I rebuke you." And I just started focusing on what good time we would have that morning. I thought, if it's just me and that one person that rolled up, we're going to have a good time regardless. We would laugh and rejoice and have a great time in God's house. And I want you to know that this little gentleman got out of the car. He was about 86 years old. He had the biggest smile on his face. And when I got out of my car and he got out of his car, we walked up to one another and we were both smiling. I shook his hand, and I'm telling you what, for 86 years old, he had the grip of a bodybuilder. I was surprised. He shook my hand so solid. He said, "Brother Jim, it's so nice to meet you and so good to have you here." And he goes, "Isn't it a joy to come to church?" And I thought, he's the only one here and he's this happy. Wow. It really opened my eyes to a whole different world of seeing things God's way. And then before long, another car pulled up and a man and his wife got out, and that's all we had. And I preached at that church for three Sundays, and then they were closing it down, and I felt so sad. So after that last Sunday, that was our last service there. And I kept thinking, well, there's got to be some way to keep the doors open. But the director of mission said, we can't keep it going anymore. But I tell you what, for 3 weeks, we had the most joyful worship services Sunday morning and Sunday night that I'd ever experienced with just a couple people. It doesn't matter how many folks are in the church house or what name is on the billboard or on the sign. It's what's in the heart that matters. Joy. I got so much joy that, you know, I do. I just have this personality that you know, sometimes I tell funny jokes or whatever like that, but I tell good jokes that are clean, and because I believe that God gave us laughter, and I always equate laughter in there with joy and happiness as well. Laughter and happiness, they come and go. Happiness is a fleeting thing, and I see so many people today. You know, they chase money, they chase the big job, the career, and some people get so wrapped up in their job or they get wrapped up in this or that, that they forget about God. And then next thing you know, the little light that was in their life starts to get snuffed out by all the external circumstances. When you think about Peter was in the boat with the disciples and Jesus was walking on the water, and Jesus says, "Lord, if that's you, then bid me come to you on the water." Jesus says, "Come." And I would have loved to have been there to have seen this, but I don't have to see to know that it was true. Then Peter got out of the boat. He had his eyes on Jesus, and he walked on the water, and he was doing just fine until the storms, the waves, and the wind got his attention. See, when the external circumstances got a hold of his sights, Peter took his eyes off the Lord, and he was no longer able to stay on top of the water, but he started to sink, and he cried out to the Lord. He says, "Help me, Lord, save me." And Jesus reached out, took him by the hand, and saved him. If we keep our eyes focused on the one who gives us our strength and gives us our life, that it doesn't matter what's going on around us, we will abide in him and he will abide in us. But we got to keep the commandments. We can't, and I'm not trying to be judgmental, I'm just giving you the word as it says. God's given us commandments and he expects us to abide by them. And if we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, then we've got a reason to only live for him. If we say that we are Christians, then our lives need to show it. Now, we're human. We're going to fail, but we need to ask God every day to help us to live better lives. We need God's strength to help us get through this life. And if we have joy, then we will be able to triumph over anything. And going back to the word abide, it means to stay or remain. You know where I would rather stay? I would rather stay in fellowship with the Lord. If I was to even get out of fellowship with the Lord, I don't even want to be standing in this pulpit. If I was to get out of fellowship with the Lord, then I wouldn't even want to walk into a church house because to me, myself, I would be the biggest hypocrite if I got out of fellowship with the Lord and then tried to live any other way. I want to abide in him. And if I abide in Christ, I want to abide in his word. I want to abide in his fellowship because in Christ, there's safety, there's peace, there's joy. And even though I'm going to go through trials and I'm going to go through valleys, when I go through these things, I know that that's the key word, going through. It doesn't mean I'm camping out to stay. When I go through a trial, I'm going in one way, and I know that in that valley, I know there's a lily in that valley, and he is the bright and the morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. His name is Jesus, and he is in that valley with me, and he will walk with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So see, I'm going through a trial. I'm comforted. So guess what? I might as well go into that trial joyful. If I go in that trial and go, oh Lord, I'm just so sad and sorry. I'm pitiful, Lord. I'd start sounding like Eeyore after a while. Anybody ever watch Winnie the Pooh? Oh, Eeyore was always sad and down. Oh, whatever. Yeah, just kind of. And I see so many people living lives of mediocrity. They're just kind of like, I call them the Eeyore complex. I've walked into churches and I've seen people that look like they'd been baptized in pickle juice. And they didn't have the joy of the Lord on their face. I would see, you know, when I'd be sitting up at church, used to, when I pastored church, we'd have chairs and the pastor would sit up here. And I used to sit up there in a chair, I liked being down here with everybody else. But I used to sit up here and I'd watch people during the singing and I'd see some people and they just look like they was lost. And they'd have their hymn book open and their eyes are and they're frowning. And so I would make sure I'd get their attention and I'd be standing up here and I'd be going like this at them, trying to make them some. And then finally I'd get a grin out of some of them. And then after church I'd say, I want you to try an exercise for me. Go home and take your fingers and put them in the corner of your mouth and stretch your mouth up like this. And then they start smiling. It's just the little things like that, showing people a little bit of love. And like I said, I'm not being condemning, I'm not. Because you know what? Times in this guy's life that I've been in church, that I was in the middle of my problems, and I wasn't really rejoicing. I was focused on my situations. But I ask the Lord every day, help me, Lord, to abide in you. Help me to be strengthened and led by your Spirit. If I abide in the Lord, it means that I'm going to continually receive and I'm going to know that Jesus is everything I need. I'm going to know that. As disciples, Our faith will be put to the test, as I said, but if we abide in Christ, He'll keep us from being fearful. If we abide in Christ, He will keep us from being fearful. Lastly, we must love one another. Verses 11 and 12. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Okay, so God loves His Son Jesus, and God and Jesus, they love us. And if we say that we love them, then guess what? We have to love everybody around us, human beings. Even the ones that get underneath our skin and rub us the wrong way, the ones that we say we don't want to be around, maybe they're negative, if we start showing love. But if we say that we love Christ, then we better love others, because the Bible plainly says right there that we love one another as He's loved us. That's pretty simple right there. My grandpa used to say, he'd say, Jimbo, if I have a gift in my hand and I've got my hand stretched out to you, he said, this is a gift I have for you. What do you have to do? And I said, well, I have to reach out and take it. He said, that's right, you received the gift. And he said, God has given us a gift, His Son Jesus. And God's saying, see how simple it is? It's right here. Because God loves us that much. See, it doesn't matter where you've been in your life. It doesn't matter how you were raised, or what, you know, your childhood was like, or maybe adulthood or anything like that, or circumstances. Those things don't matter. What matters? There's a free gift, and it's called Jesus. And He is the best gift you'll ever receive. You know, I've gone around for years, and of course, I about went gaga yesterday. I was downtown Paducah, and a 1955 Chevy Bel Air, red and white, come pulling off. I just couldn't keep myself. I thought, I want one of those so bad. For years of my life, boy, I would love to have a 57 Chevy. Oh, I'd love to have one to drive around. And boy, I would do anything to get a 57 Chevy. You know what? I could care less now about having a 57 Chevy, because I got the greatest thing in the world. I've got one that gives me eternal peace and joy. I have fellowship with Him, and His name is Jesus. So if I abide in that love, if I want to retain that joy, then I've got to love the Lord, and I've got to love other people. If I do that, I mean, hey. So let me give us all a little kind of a school lesson here. If we want to learn to love others, even the ones that are unlovable, we think that are unlovable, remember, God loves them just as they are. We have to look inside that heart, and we have to find that part that needs to be loved. Because do you know that if you give of yourself to somebody else, whether they show it or not the first time, it's going to have a lasting impact. I had this bully kid in school that used to want to beat me up after school, and I was scared of him. He was bigger than me. And I thought, why does this kid hate me so bad? And I thought, there's got to be something I could do to make him not want to beat me up. And all I had to do was come out of the school, cross the street, run up the alley, and I was right at my house. I lived that close. And he would stand right there by that, across the street at the crosswalk. He would stand between the alley and my area of safety, and I was scared. And I didn't know what to do, so I talked to my dad about it. And my dad said to me, do you have one of your little Hot Wheel cars? Maybe take and give him a car. Give him something. And say, look, I don't know why you hate me, but could we be friends? And give him a car. Maybe something in his life. Okay, I thought. So I went through my box of Hot Wheel cars. because I was in the fifth grade and I always had a big box of Hot Wheel cars to play with. And I went through and I picked my favorite car. My total favorite. Now my dad said, I'll take you to the store and buy you another one. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. What if we buy him the new one? So I went and bought a brand new car. And one day after school, I walked across the street. I want you to know I was shaking in my tennis shoes so bad because of fear. And I walked across that crosswalk and there stood that boy waiting. And I walked right up to him. I had that car in my pocket. And I took that car out of my pocket and had it in my hand. And I just said, look, I don't know why you hate me. And I was about to cry. I used to cry, you know, I was so scared. And I said, I don't know why you hate me so bad, but I just want to be your friend. And I said, I'd like to give you one of my cars. And this is what happened. He stopped and he looked at me. He looked at the car in my hand. He said, you'd really give me that? I said, yeah, I sure would. I said, here, it's brand new. I hadn't even never played with it. I went and bought it. It's yours. Handed it to him. And he took and he looked at it. And his eyes kind of lit up. And he was like, oh, wow, cool. Thanks. He goes, well, what's your name? And I said, Jim. He says, well, I'm Jason. I said, nice to meet you, Jason. And do you know, from that time on, through the rest of junior or grade school, junior high, and then into high school, I hadn't seen him in a lot of years, but we stayed friends all those years because I gave him a gift. I found some way to reach his heart. So if we want to have true joy, then we got to learn to love others. It's easy to love God because God's perfect. God's awesome and wonderful. He's magnificent. He's holy and worthy of praise. So it's easy to love God. It's harder sometimes to love human beings because we're all different. We all have different thoughts. We all have different ways. But we're all the same because we were created in God's image. So if we love people, we never know who we're going to influence with our words in our life. We never know what kind of difference we'll make. But if we will keep the Lord's commandments, if we'll keep our eyes on Him, and if we will love, we will have true joy. I'm not talking happiness. Happiness is a momentary feeling, and it will come and go. It'll come and go. But what God gives us, it's eternal, and it never goes away. And what should make us even happier? When we close our eyes on this side of life, and we take that last breath, and we step over into the kingdom of heaven, and we stand before God Almighty, wow. So, where's your heart today?